Hey, everybody, this is Andrew Colvett here, filling in one last time for Charlie. We have a special, exclusive conversation with Kyle Rittenhouse reacting to the events of last night at the University of Memphis. All chaos broke loose. It was a chaotic scene, and guess what? The University of Memphis is complicit. In all likelihood, though we can't prove it yet, there needs to be an investigation. In all likelihood, aided and abetted the protesters to sabotage the Turning Point USA chapter at University of Memphis and really honestly put a lot of people at risk and put people's safety at risk. So we talk with Kyle about it. We get his perspective. You're not going to want to miss this. Kyle Rittenhouse right here. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of The Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
I wanted to take some time to sit down with the man at the center of so much of the attention last night at the University of Memphis. That would be Kyle Rittenhouse. So, Kyle, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show with, you know, yours truly, Andrew, filling in. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Andrew. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, well, thank you for making the time. I mean, listen, I feel like I was privy to this for a couple weeks as we were leading up to this. There was a lot of media attention. And so we knew that there was, I guess, some left-wing energy, some protest energy that did not want to see you come to campus. But then everything got crazy the morning of. The university changed the ticketing system. So we had thousands of ticketing requests that were voided, basically. So a lot of people, and people don't understand this, Turning Point has a really elaborate ticketing system to make sure that we get people that really want to be there in good faith and that are able to get tickets, students. That was voided the morning of, and then the protesters were tipped off and given the tickets. They had advanced notice of when those tickets would become available. So, Kyle, you walked in to not only protesters on the outside of the event, but they were basically had almost nearly all the seats inside the event, thanks to the University of Memphis. I want you to walk through with, you know, our listeners what you were hearing on the ground. What were you anticipating? Were you nervous going into this event? What was going through your head?
Absolutely. So the first thing I did was I called my prayer buddy up and we said a prayer before I walked out on the stage. And that had like a sense of relief. But I talked with my security team and we had a guy on the ground already, Byron, with his dog, who's a dual purpose canine, who swept the building and made sure everything was safe. But I was just shocked on how the administration and the University of Memphis can do that, to where they can go ahead and revoke the ticketing system last minute and give a heads up to the protesters/rioters, because if we're being honest here, it turned into a borderline riot as they were spitting and chasing down the TPUSA students' vehicles yesterday. And I walk out there and I'm just met with a bunch of nasty people calling me a murderer, a white supremacist. And that one doesn't make any sense to me. None of them make sense to me, but especially the white supremacist part, and just saying all these nasty things about me. And I just took it and I argued with people in the crowd. I tried to give a speech. I had a speech prepared that I was going to give. And then I got like a minute and a half and 2 minutes into it and they would not let me talk. So I said, okay, you guys obviously don't want to hear me talk. Let's go ahead and roll into Q&A. They didn't like what I had to say because a bunch of people walked out.
Well, we have screen grabs from these protester group chats, Kyle, where they literally say, hey, we were just told that the tickets are going to be made available at this link at 8:30. So everybody make sure you grab your tickets so that we can stage a walkout of Kyle's event. So they knew exactly what they were doing. Somebody, whether it was the administration themselves or a staffer, there was very few people who knew that this was the new plan, right? And they forced this plan after originally agreeing to using our ticketing system. Again, we have an elaborate system in place because, you know, this is nothing new. We're used to people trying to buy up all the tickets. You don't have to buy them. They're free. But to reserve all the tickets and then, you know, either not show up and leave the event empty so they control the event or do other types of things. So we have a system in place where we can combat those kind of attacks. And it was all going swimmingly. We had the tickets were all going to be handled in a really professional stand-up way. And people that really wanted to hear you. By the way, I want you to know this, Kyle. The response to the event was overwhelming. I mean, we had thousands and thousands of requests. And I would say the vast majority of those were good faith requests. And the event was going to be packed with – yeah, the event was going to be packed with people that appreciate your story, wanted to hear from you. I'm sure some would disagree, but they were good faith, right? It was not going to be a room full of 300 protesters just screaming at you. And unfortunately, the university gamed the system, changed it last minute, and set this up. And really, your point is well taken. They set up the potential for a riot to happen, which if you know anything about the city of Memphis, is not surprising that same kind of cultural rot would be infesting the administration of the University of Memphis. So I'm sorry that happened to you.
I'm sorry that it happened to the students.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
Absolutely. That it happened to the students who took the time out of their days to either come into town or cleared their schedules to come and listen to me speak, because they have every right, just as any other protester, to come there and listen to me and to be censored in a way it is censorship to censor me and the students of Turning Point US for it's unprofessional, and it just makes me very upset and very angry.
Well, it's totally right. And one of the other aspects of this story, and there's so many moving parts, it's hard for people to fully understand what happened. The administration, in coordination with campus police, basically said they weren't going to do anything if protesters were shouting at you, if they were being unruly.
Yeah, so funny story about that. So
yeah, please.
In our security briefing, my security team met with Memphis PD, and essentially you've met my dog. I have a medical service dog for my PTSD, and Byron has a working dog, and they were trying to refuse access to our dogs. The staff was saying that they aren't going to do anything about anybody being unruly, and it's my security's team's job to essentially like control the crowd. And I'm like, that's not their job. Their job is to protect me. That's University of Memphis police's job to control the crowd.
Yeah, well, so exactly. So let's piece this together. They stacked the deck with a crowd that was going to be absolutely unruly and chaotic and disruptive. They did that on purpose in the name of fairness and equity, Kyle. They then told you, we're not going to do anything to stop them or to ensure that the event can actually move forward in a productive way. They essentially created a scenario where they could silence you and censor you. You're absolutely right. This is a form of censorship by another name. Yes, they technically allowed the event to move forward, but not any semblance of the event that we had envisioned, not any semblance of the event where you would actually get an opportunity to speak. They created a situation that could have become unsafe, that could have become a lot more riotous than it did. Thankfully, nobody was hurt. But certainly, you look at some of those videos, like somebody could have very easily been injured in all of this. This is them walking out, the Black Lives Matter t-shirt, walking out of the event because they didn't like what you had to say. And then there were scenes from outside of them spitting on cars, kicking cars, chasing people around.
Blocking roads.
This scene, right? Blocking roads, trying to block cars from exiting. I mean, this is a massive group of people. And the cops and the administration enabled this by giving them such a wide berth and such a long leash. Look at these people trying to exit. I mean, I'm surprised nobody got hurt.
Folks, so many people I know are disheartened that our country seems to have forgotten the importance of citizenship, and they wonder how a strong sense of citizenship might be revived. That's why my friends at Hillsdale College have produced a free online course on this topic, American Citizenship and Its Decline. Taught by historian Victor Davis Hanson, the course traces the history of citizenship and explains how it is undermined in America today by open borders, by identity politics, by the administrative state, and by globalization. Americans taking the course will gain a deeper insight about the connection between citizenship and freedom, an insight they can share with their family members, friends, and neighbors. Hillsdale's free online courses are an important component of Hillsdale's mission to reach and teach increasing millions of people on behalf of liberty and the American way of life. So sign up today for Hillsdale's free online course, American Citizenship and Its Decline, by visiting charlieforhillsdale.com. That is charlieforhillsdale.com. Start your free course today at charlieforhillsdale.com.
They enabled this behavior. They refused to stamp it out or quell it or control it. And this is why the city of Memphis, it broke its own homicide record last year with almost 400 murders in a mid-major city that's not a major city. You should not be having 400 murders in a city the size of Memphis. And instead of dealing with all that, they want to point the finger at Kyle Rittenhouse and say, you are the problem, and that Turning Point USA is the problem. And it's absolutely really disappointing. But when you enable petulant children, this is exactly what you get.
Absolutely. And I tried to get into that in my speech a little bit yesterday, well, in my Q&A and debate with some of these unruly demonstrators inside that building, talking about the murder rate in Memphis and how most of those murders come from people who legally cannot possess a gun to begin with. So what does adding more gun control do to help your city? Absolutely nothing.
That's a good point. And Kyle, there's this whole other racial aspect to this. And frankly, you want nothing to do with it. But I do find it interesting that a lot of people want to paint you as a white supremacist. Just to fact check for us.
Just like they do with Charlie, trying to paint us as a white supremacist.
Oh, 100%. And yeah, so to set the record straight here, Kyle, I mean, your experience, traumatic as it was in Kenosha, correct me if I'm wrong, none of those people that you engaged with were black, were they? They were actually white?
Every single one of them was white.
Isn't that hilarious? But yet you're somehow a white supremacist. And the other thing I want to fact check here, Kyle, they're saying is you stormed off the stage and because you couldn't answer questions. Is that true or false, Kyle?
That's completely false. If you watch the video, I'm not going to dox the field rep's name, but you see my security team walk off stage, go to the field rep because I gave my single, hey, I had my timer on. I was going to go out there for 30 minutes, the scheduled time that I promised Turning Point, 30 minutes, had my timer. My phone went off. I gave my single to my security team. They noticed my signal, and that was like, hey, we're going to wrap this up. Last question. And I didn't answer the last question because it was irrelevant and didn't make any sense. So they came up and we walked out, and that was a strategic move. So they didn't go and have time to mobilize to shut down the roads and try to harm me as I was getting out. It wasn't like I stormed off stage. It was, we got out of there because there was threats of violence, and that's when the speech ended. The event was over.
Yeah. So you told everybody last question, and then you moved off the stage. 100%. The way that I was told that it happened as well. But you didn't just storm off. You ended up meeting with Turning Point students, did you not? You ended up spending
Absolutely.
More time. Yeah. So tell us what happened after you left the stage.
I felt so bad for the Turning Point students who did not get to come there. And I promised them a meet and greet, and I just felt so bad. So the field rep was able to find a venue and gather up all the Turning Point students. So I gave them a speech. I mingled around with them and I hung out with them for a couple hours and spent some time with them because they didn't deserve to be treated like that by the university. And it was a really wonderful after event. And I'm glad I got to be able to do that with them. And I hope it meant a lot to them because it meant a lot to me.
That's great, Kyle. And then just in terms of your own physical safety, did you, at what points before, during, or after the event, exiting the university, did you feel unsafe as you were in any of those settings?
Not really. We went out to, it was funny. So after the after event, we went out to this place called Hooey's, and it's kind of in the hood. And I didn't really feel unsafe there, but there were definitely some sketch characters there taking pictures of me. but we had a canine Odin with us, and nobody really wants to mess with a dog.
Okay, Kirk fans, I need you to stop and pay attention to this. If you deal with exhaustion, brain fog, mood swings, or food cravings, if you're constantly getting sick or simply lack the zeal you used to have in life, then I have some news for you. A while back, I found a liquid supplement called Strong Cell, and it changed my health in a very profound way. I take it every single day. Look, I knew I had to partner with them. I did the research, Google, and look up online what happens when you mix NADH with CoQ10 and marine collagen. It's simple. Every area of your body has cells, so if your cells are healthier, then you will also be healthier. You don't have to take my word for it. Listen to one of these testimonials. After taking Strong Cell for 6 weeks, I found improvement in many areas, less shoulder pain, improved mental clarity, increased natural energy, and so much more. I'm thankful that Charlie Kirk recommended this to his listeners. Rebecca says, I absolutely love Strong Cell. At first, I didn't think it would make much of a difference for my chronic fatigue, depression, and anxiety, but I thought I'd give it a chance. I've tried to find depression meds for 10 years, and since I use Strong Cell, I'm feeling better than I ever have on depression medication. Customer for life. Thank you, Charlie Kirk, for recommending this product. So there it is. You've heard from me directly and some of the users who have seen their lives changed by Strong Cell. I personally recommend taking it every day for at least 30 days. I take it every day before I go on the air, and it's helped me in more ways than I can even name. Each of our bodies is very different, so I would recommend you give the supplement at least 2 to 3 months to see the changes in your body. Go to strongcell.com and learn more for yourself. That's strongcell.com/Charlie. And don't forget to use discount code Charlie at checkout to get your special 20% discount for Kirk listeners. Or you can call 888-596-0155 to order over the phone. That is 888-596-0155. Or visit strongcell.com/Charlie.
So, and that's the other part of this story that I think is underappreciated. You know, Charlie goes to campus and he experiences like so much love, so much like appreciation, like crowds come around him and they want to like, you know, shake his hand and take pictures with him. I mean, when he does these tabling events, he's usually got about like 60-70% of people that like really support him or are there to encourage him. You have a similar situation where a lot of people want to paint it as if all you have is haters. But talk about some of the people that support you. Like, I mean, I was on the phone with you earlier and you had to like pause the conversation because I could hear the gentleman came up to you and just like, I just want to shake your hand, Kyle, and tell you I appreciate you and I got your back. Tell us about the love that you experienced too and the support.
Absolutely. Especially at Turning Point events and then like going out in public. Of course, there's some negative people out there, but a majority of the people are nice, everyday patriots who just want to see the same society that Turning Point wants to see, that I want to see, and see people not get indoctrinated or have our rights stripped and, you know, simple stuff, not too much to ask for. And they're supportive. They come up and they'll ask to take a picture or they'll just want to shake my hand. And I do find a little bit of appreciation in that in a way because it shows me that not everybody is out to get me.
No, that we're dealing with a very loud, very weak minority group of people that act like petulant children to get their way. And anyways, Kyle, I just, you know, appreciate you going through with the event. The university really needs to be held accountable. We're going to be working as hard as we can to make sure that this incident gets investigated. Again, the university sets you up with a stacked deck of protesters in that crowd by changing the ticketing system, by refusing to use ours, by refusing to honor our weeks of work that went into promoting that event and getting people registered and good faith and confirming tickets and texting people and emailing people. I mean, people have no idea how much work our staff puts in, how much our chapters put in to host an event like this. And they undermined it, and they put you and our students and honestly that university at risk. I'm so glad nobody was hurt, Kyle, but, you know, thank you for pushing forward. And, you know, by the way, last thing, tell us about your book. How do people support you? You know, how do people get behind Kyle Rittenhouse?
Absolutely. So my book is available for purchase at rittenhousebook.com. And it's essentially just a rundown of everything that happened. And the best way for people to support me is I've been speaking at quite a few universities now with a few booked up. If you guys are at any of these universities that I'll be speaking at, For Turning Point, I would love to see you guys. I would love to meet you guys, and it would be awesome for you guys to come out.
Awesome. Well, Kyle, stay safe. I know you you work hard at that, and keep your head up. You got more people that back you than don't. They're just loud, petulant children, and let's be honest, University of Memphis was complicit in turning that event into a chaotic scene. I'm glad everybody's safe. I'm glad you're safe.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me, Andrew.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.